I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everybody and welcome back to part two, Vicky Patterson The Secret 2. I am joined by none other than the adorable Oreo Duva. Hello, hon.
Oh, I still love you. Oh, Vic, and we got a couple of weeks. We're hitting the tiles, aren't we?
I fucking can't wait to show you the ropes in Newcastle, son. Are you up for the challenge?
I don't think I'm ready. Genuinely.
You see, that is not a sentence I am used to hearing you say, because you are a man who loves a challenge, aren't you?
I know, but everything I've done in the past has probably been building up to you and me on a night out in Newcastle.
Just working up to it.
Yeah.
Right. I have to ask, first of all, though, because I didn't even realise that you did this until I got all my lovely research this morning. Mm. So you did Hell on a High Seas in 2016 for Comic Relief.
Yeah, that was...
Talk us through it.
That was terrible.
Was it the worst moment of your life?
It was and it wasn't. It was an amazing thing to do. It was a Comic Relief, Sport Relief. We were, you know, raising money for an amazing cause, life-changing cause.
So feel-good factor.
Feel-good factor was right up there. And amazing to be asked, you know, to get to do some of these amazing challenges. You know, we were essentially, I think there were five or six of us on one of the round-the-world yachts that they take. And we were circumnavigating the UK. That was the idea. And these things go at 1,000 knots or whatever, some crazy number. But also, you have to put all of those, it's five or six of us, plus the crew, the actual professionals, yeah. You know what they're doing. And yeah. We're all
and
staying...
And then the film crew as well.
And then the guys who were filming, we all got to stay on this one boat. And we're sailing all day. And essentially... if anyone is really bad at seasickness or claustrophobia or fear of open water, and I have all of those, going on a boat that sails at basically about 50 miles an hour, I think is its sort of top speed, on like really ropey waves, is a recipe for disaster.
Is it like proper choppy waters in that as well?
Oh, so, you know, there was actually, we had to stop the sail at one point because there was a storm coming through somewhere between Ireland, maybe we were around the Isle of Man or something like that. Yeah. And we had to stop because it was that dangerous. But we got there at the beginning of it and you could see the waves were getting so high. This yacht goes at like 45 degree angle. So you're literally holding on for dear life, let alone if it's at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're trying to have a sleep downstairs. Oh my God, Vic, it was dreadful. And then after all of that, you get sunrises and you're there on the sea and you get to see it like in the most like life in its purest form. And then you're there like hanging out with
nature.
These guys. Nature, look, I mean, it looked amazing. Dolphins. It was stunning. But I remember getting off the boat after that week, and oh my God, like body went into shutdown. I had a friend of mine's 30th birthday that I had promised, one of my best friends, one of my best men at my wedding, and I was like, I'm coming to your birthday. And Portia was like, are you sure? Because you don't look right at all. I was like,
Were you green?
I was basically green. It was coming out of all ends, mate. And I contributed nothing to the weekend. I was just basically in bed. Everyone was going for walks and having drinks and, you know, eating what. I was like, I'm sorry, I can't come out. I went, but I was just bed. So, that was pretty hellish, as the title of the show suggested. But an amazing thing to have got to do.
Who did you do it with? Because I always think that kind of makes it.
Yeah, so Alex Jones was there, Angelica Bell, Hal Cruttendon. Who else did we have on there?
Alex Jones.
We had an amazing bunch. Actually, Hal and I, we were bunk buddies. So when you're on a boat like that, yeah. I'm not sure if this works exactly like this. If you're doing around the world yacht race, we weren't quite doing that. In fact, had we done, we would have only let everybody down. But Hal and I are bunk buddies, so it meant that there's only one bunk between the two of you. So if one's sleeping, the other one's up on deck and sort of helping.
So you both share a bed, basically.
So we're sharing the bed. And what it also means is that when it's your time to do the swap, the person who's been out on the deck has to come down, wake that person up after like 2 hours sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, go, it's your turn to go back up stairs. Which, at the best of times, anyone coming to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, is you're literally asking for a punch. You're asking for a blow to the face. And I think occasionally I like didn't wake up. So Hal just keep tapping me on the shoulder. He should have punched me, to be completely honest. we bonded a lot over that few days.
Well, I'm not surprised. Like, I think those experiences that are like truly hellish, or where you're particularly out of your comfort zone, you know, things like the jungle, things like SES, things like, oh my God, there's so many. The Hunted, for example, all these shows, like you can't help but be, and experiences, bonded with the people you do them with, because you feel like you go through something that nobody else can understand.
Yeah, that is exactly it. It's like, I was described strictly as an anti-trauma, because you're all going through this crazy thing, but actually at the end of the day, it was so much fun, and it was such an amazing thing to go through and to be part of this amazing, glitzy, shiny show that everybody loved and watched live on a Saturday night. So you bonded like that. But a real trauma just has all of that, but without the fun. It has all of that, but without the glitz and the outfits and the glamour of it. It's just awful. So naturally, when you do those, you do come together. So Hell on High Seas really brought us together, like SAS did, girl. That was something else.
Oh, honestly. So I had Ulrika on last week, and I had all the best intentions of like asking her about it. I wanted to do a snog, marry, avoid with like about Foxy and Milton, it was going to be so much fun. And I got her on, and I just, yes, I fangirled her too hard about gladiators, etc., which took up far too much time. But also, like, Ulrika just completely clammed up. Like, I haven't spoken about it loads, and I'm sure everybody's wondering why, because I'm normally so vocal. But I, like, as I mentioned to you at the start of this, I've had to compartmentalise that experience.
Yeah. Well, I messaged you because I noticed that, some of us had put up pictures on Instagram about it. And I knew you hadn't put it up because of your own reasons. But naturally, because we were a tight group and we did go through this crazy thing together, you know, we do have those concerns for each other. No one else gets it. Nobody knows what we went through. Nobody knows kind of how we have felt for the 11 months that people don't know that the show was on since, you know. We've had to kind of, every day there's something that brings it back. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a, oh, that reminds me of. But at the same time, you're like, I cannot have this chat with anybody. Because nobody gets it. So, you know, when I knew that the show was coming on air, naturally it's like, Vic, how you doing? Ulrika, how you doing? Alexandra, just checking in. Is everybody okay? Because it was such a life-changing experience. And from a lot of us, and positive, not for everybody, but naturally we went to a place that was dark. You don't want to have to go back there.
Nope.
We are living through it, you know. You know, it can seem quite trivial, but we're living through that week or so. We felt it, mate.
Honestly, mate. And I don't want to talk about it too much because obviously it's on, everyone's watching it. I read that you said it, almost talking about it, you felt like you had a little bit of PTSD over it. And honestly, I can identify with that. Like, I feel like everybody, like, who wants to chat to me, like, went to the NTAs last night. Everyone was like, Vic, I saw you falling out backwards from that helicopter. And I was like, oh my God, I love your suit. Like, I just thought, redirect, change.
Oh, look,
like,
at the Deckard one again. Run, Vicky, run.
I just wanted to segue instantly into something else, because without being dramatic, and you know I wear my heart on my sleeve, I'm so honest, I just found it really harrowing. And like, being someone who's like MasterChef finalist, like number one selling fitness DVD, wins the jungle, I kind of like to do things and be really good and do things really well.
Yeah.
And you know, in that space, Ori, there are just no winners. Like, we're all just broken. And it was so hard for me to get my head around that. Did you feel an element of that too?
Oh, gosh, big time.
Because you're a kind of almost, I don't want to say competitive, I want to say overachiever. That's what I think you are.
I've been really lucky with a lot of things in my life, but I don't think anything prepared me for that.
So attractive. And so modest and attractive. Fucking honestly, mate. Yes. Just keep this coming.
Stop it. You're killing me. I actually had spoke to her. I called Ulrika this week and we had a lovely little chat. We were talking about it. And I don't know about you, but I felt during the show, because I'm not competitive, actually. And I think the show was all about what you were going to get out of it from yourself. But I remember, you know, Ulrika and I, the first couple of days, we basically couldn't speak. And we were talking about it to each other, going, we were just in shock. An absolute shock. Yeah. What is going on? And there are some guys in our group who were naturally, you know, Jake is a man who whether he's happy or sad, he's still going to yabba. He's still going to chat, and that's why we love him.
Had we not had him,
it would have been a very different, the experience wouldn't have been the same had he not, because actually in many ways he was able to do the talking for a lot of us. But no, shock, absolute shock from the off. And following the experience, you know, getting back home, you know, everything that we've done had been through the mill. Body and mind had been absolutely battered. And I remember getting back myself, and you know, the house was getting renovated, everything was a bit weird. I remember Portia and Ro were out during the day and I was doing a workout. I'd had to give myself some time off from being active, and then I was doing a workout for the first time. And I remember just being at home alone, and that the whole house felt heavy with like a presence. I then started doing the workout and I felt like that somebody was there, like really like beasting me. Nobody was there. It was just me.
Yeah,
but it felt like there was a presence. I felt heavy and it was awful. It was really awful. I was like, what is going on? But I was at least able to sort of, again, compartmentalize it and go, okay, I know, having talked with a psychotherapist, that you were going to react in various ways. Yeah. And so I was able to identify. I talked with them. I talked with my wife. And it was fine. You know, I managed it and I, you know, worked through it. Bloody hell. Think if you were an actual military personnel and you're going through some of that stuff and you're trying to integrate yourself back into a normal life. That ain't going to happen in a day, let alone a lifetime.
Of course not.
So naturally, none of us are going, oh, you know, actually, having said that, I always go, when I was in the SAS, I can't. I find it really hard not to go. Sorry, Portia. Listen, when I was in the SAS, I learned a lot, actually. It's really hard. I said this to someone when we did the interview. I said, you remember Gareth Keenan from The Office?
Yeah.
Whenever he went, see, when I was in the TA, when I was in the Territorial Army, people were like, Gareth, you were training for the TA. You actually never passed it. I'm like, when I was in the SAS, I'm literally Gareth Keenan. But none of us were ever going to be in the SAS. However,
thankful.
Just the appreciation of anyone who goes through that process. Oh, my God.
No, I know.
Through the roof.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
So it's honestly, like, I completely concur with everything you've said. And even like with regards to the training, right? I've had to totally change the way I exercise. Like, I used to actually love so many like military principles, like very boot camp feels, throwing things around, like hard, intensive, really functional stuff. I do zero gravity Pilates now. Everything else, and I know it's probably telling me I need to deal with this in a more healthy way, but everything else just makes me feel a little bit like I'm back there. And I do, I get a bit, I still feel a bit like ick.
But I think it's going to take time. It will just take time. I mean, naturally, we're only watching the show back now and the show's on and people are going to talk to you about it. It's going to take time. And I think what was great about the show, and people will ask, you know, what was the aftercare like? And we could call them up right now if we needed to.
Oh,
we want to speak to anybody. But that's why we've got each other as well, because we have gone through it. And I think I'd love to get to a place where we can all speak about it in a healthy way and not feel like it's going to, and I know this is Ulrika's not her favourite word, but trigger some of the stuff that happens. You know, I look at it back as a life-changing experience in a positive way, because it kind of reaffirmed a lot of the stuff that I do on a day-to-day basis, and then kind of made me realise a lot of the potential that I can get out of myself and out of my family that I kind of thought wasn't there. I wanted to go and do that show to try and think, you know, do I have the metal to get through anything? And they've given me that, you know, those DS are so phenomenal. And I'm looking at it on that positive way. But that's not to say that it wasn't, you know, really, really difficult.
But it's good though. I think that's how you get through life, isn't it, babe? You always kind of look on the positive side. You try to see what you can take from something. And I think if you don't do that, the other side is you just end up a bit bitter and miserable and angry about stuff. So no, I think the Aura way is the best way.
Oh, hey, write that on the back of your petrol station toilet door. That ain't tosh. The fucking tosh.
So,
there.
Because I never didn't get to play this game with Ulrika, I'm playing it with you, right?
Oh, God.
Snog, marry, avoid. Ant Middleton, Foxy, Billy. Go.
Oh. Because you didn't get to play with Ulrika, I get to play it. Brilliant. Okay, all right. I think I would snog Ant for you.
For on behalf of you.
So that I can always tell you what it was like.
Yeah, I'd want the secret.
I know you're dead keen for that.
I bet he's filthy. Just saying.
Is it a filthy snogger? Do you think he's all tongue? Oh, God, right.
Yeah, okay. I just reckon the spit everywhere. Everywhere.
And on next week's show, Ant Middleton. First question.
I'd be fucking terrified.
I'm going to say I'd marry Foxy. And 100%. I would avoid Billy only because Billy and Mel were in my interview with the two of them.
So you feel like he's seen too much of your soul?
He definitely knows what I'm really like. And actually, initially, it disappointed him. He disappointed him because he knew that I had more in him. So he actually is the person that got angry to my core the most. You know, and, you know, he's just like a barking dog. Foxy is lovely, but Billy actually, I was like, okay, I feel like I really disappointed him. So that's my three.
Do you know what? It's so weird, right? But mine are exactly the same.
Okay. I'd go
the same. I feel like I disappointed Billy by just existing. Fucking hated me. I was like, so sorry I'm here. That was just mine. Foxy, like, I've actually kept in touch with and I love him. He's coming on the podcast in a couple of weeks.
Brilliant.
I'll do a snog, marry, avoid for, like, the contestants for him.
Yeah.
For the recruits.
Dude.
I'll put you in.
And if I ain't in that three...
If he's not marrying you, there's going to be fucking hell on, babe. That's okay. All I'm saying.
I'm glad you got my back, babe.
Don't worry, babe. I've got you, boo. Right. Okay. You are full of busy at the moment, as always. But tell me about your show.
Oh, I'm doing the Rocky Horror Show, Vic.
Yes, you are, babe. And I'm coming to see it. I can't wait.
I can't wait for you to come and see it. It's so mental in the best possible way. I'm talking to you in Plymouth. We've had the most amazing week in Plymouth. These guys love the show. And actually, I was asking one of the stage handlers, I was like, oh my God, mate, like, Plymouth are amazing. You guys have been fantastic. Why do you think they love the show so much? He was like, Because they're all mental. It's like, yes, that's why. Oh my God, we're so in tune with each other. And I think the, you know, this show has been going, talk about like 50 year anniversaries.
It's a long, long runner.
You know, Rocky Horror's 50 years birthday, I think, in a couple of years' time. So it was, I think 1973 was when it was first out there.
Yeah.
But it's never been more relevant than right now. You know, the show is about kind of being free to be who you are, identity, sexual liberation, and just not being confined to how people think you should be.
Like normatives, heteronormatives and stuff.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's 2021. This show was made in the 70s, but so much of that is like,
so progressive.
We're talking about that right now. Yeah. And I remember when I was asked about doing the show, I was like, okay, I might need to ask my other manager, Portia, and see what her vibe is. Immediately she was like, oh my God, you have to do that show. My family are obsessed with it. Like the idea of you coming out in your pants every night makes me howl. And I took it in a heartbeat. But I've got to say, Vic, because I was a little anxious about, you know, stepping out in a corset and heels. Because you're like,
of course.
I've done the news reading thing. I worked for the BBC. And actually, had it not been for lockdown, I think part of me would have gone, oh, do you know, I think it's a little bit too left
risky, field,
a bit too risque
direction
for me. I'm not sure. Thanks to lockdown and the change of perspective that it gave me, I was like, this is exactly how I'm coming out of lockdown.
I'm coming out of lockdown in my bra
corset,
and
my knickers, in a stocking and a 3-inch heel. Somebody stop me.
And this is so fucking empowering.
Oh my God. Genuinely, I feel so good every night. The audiences love it. We have an amazing cast and company. And I get to wear my heels. You know, it's a perfect combo. So if anybody has not seen the show, or they have seen the show and they want to see it again, you got to come.
Love that. Right. Last question before I get your secret. Yeah. Every time I'm on a red carpet, every time I'm being particularly risky with an outfit, I always just have this like really, like, it's not really irrational, actually. It's perfectly rational fear that I'm going to have a nip slip. Are you worried about any of your bits coming out of your nicks? Because I know it's a sexy, sexy show, Ori, but like still, nobody's paid to see your tinkler.
You don't have to be on the red carpet for you to be worried about your nip slip. 5 minutes ago.
I just nearly had
5 minutes ago.
Oh, podcast nip slips are fine. It's great.
I wear a G-string. That's the other new thing. I was like, I remember when I first went down.
Everyone's seen your bum hole.
Oh my God. When I first went down to wardrobe, and I thought that, you know, the guy Chris, who's been doing it for forever, and I was like, okay, well, what am I going to wear? I know the things outside, the exterior stuff I'm going to have to wear. So I said, all right, I'll take your stuff off. And he just basically gave me this piece of black dental floss. I was like, what am I going to do with that?
Baptism.
Well, you have to
fire.
Put that on under your pants. I was like, okay, we're in now. And
could you literally just like taste it? Is it just so high up? You're getting such a glimpse into what it's like to be a woman.
Oh my God.
So
I know. And I know. I don't know if I'm going to come back from this. So I call in the morning, and then before a show at bedtime, I call at home. So sometimes Portia gets the glimpse of me putting my G-string on.
Oh, okay.
Like, babe, it's not the back you're worried about. Like, just think Borat in his mankini and anything that's coming out of the size of that. It is a sight. Every time she's like, please don't show me that again.
I'm coming
crazy
to see this fucking show. I am so excited. Already, my full frontal. I'm in.
We're going to retitle it. 50 years. It's about time for a rebrand. All right, full frontal. Balls out. Live
balls
on the West
to
End.
The wall. Plymouth this week. Be there, be square. I'm coming. I can't wait. Right. You've been a delight, which I knew you would be. And I know you're so busy between Soccer Aid and bloody SAS and your show and everything. You've made time for me. So thank you so much, firstly.
Lovely, mate. Anytime.
But lastly, before I let you go, here at Vicky Patterson The Secret 2, we like to give our lovely listeners a couple of pearls of wisdom from our gorgeous guests. And hearing to you talk, it's quite clear you're so evolved. You are so progressive. You are juggling this world of like fast-paced, like celebrity life, but also with like being a daddy. And I kind of feel like you're doing it your own way too, which is just really inspirational, can I just tell you?
Oh, thank you, mate.
You're welcome. So I want to know, and I'm sure loads of people listening will want to know, what your secret is to being a modern day daddy.
I mean, I genuinely am still figuring it out myself because, like you say, it's about evolving and just, you know, every day is different. And I'll tell you this much, kids, they let you write a rule book, eventually you think you've got the measure of it, and then they go, oh, I'll have that, and I'm going to rip it up and start again. So it is every day is a new day of learning. I think for me, and it is tough, you know, just for all of us, the how we're having to manage it, you know, me being away and Porsche having to do a lot of the hands-on parenting by herself. But, you know, we have an amazing support group of family and friends who are there for us when we need them. But the only thing that I can do is basically just try to be as considerate as I can. And just, my dad was away a lot when I was growing up. And in many ways, we didn't have as close a relationship as, you know, might have had on paper. My respect for him is through the roof. Mm-hmm. And the mad thing, Vic, is how much I am like him as a father.
Oh, 110%. We always turn into them no matter what we want, no matter what we say.
It was always going to happen. Yeah. I went, oh, no, I'm going to do things differently. Never going to happen. He's such a big influence on me. Just, and I think in a really good way.
Yeah.
But I think it's just trying to be in tune, you know, as a team. You know, Porsche and I were a team. Even before kids, it was always like just, you know, what
that's
can we do
the important
each
bit, isn't it? And being on the same page.
It's so important. Being on the same page, even when you're away. You know, Jason Manford, one of the best things he ever told me is that you are a parent even when you are away.
It doesn't stop.
And I think my responsibility is doing whatever I can above and beyond, whether I'm with them or without them. And if I'm there, I am there.
Yeah.
You know,
110%.
Phones away, whatever I can do
present
for my son,
daddy,
for my wife. I want to be there. I want to do my job as best as I possibly can. So, you know, is there a secret? I'm not sure because everybody's going to be different. But for me, it's just about being as present and as considerate and cooperative as possible. And I'll try not to have too many 3 a.m. kebabs while I'm on tour because, you know, Porsche can't. She would love to, but she can't.
You know what, though? Like, those 3 a.m. kebabs, they fucking hit different, bro.
Oh, my God!
They hit different!
It was off the chain, good. Oh! I won't even say any more. It was...
Because Porsche will kill we both. So on that note, I'm going to let you go. I can't wait to see you in the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, thanks, Bert. Thanks for all your support and thanks for being amazing. It's lovely, like, just having a chin wag with you. It's been a while, so
I know.
I love that.
It didn't feel like work at all, did it?
Work, schmuck. Come on.
Oh, guys, Aurea Duba. Don't you just love him? I love him so much. But it will not stop me annihilating him on our up-and-coming night out. I'm going to crush you into dust, Ore! moving swiftly on. If you love Ore, he is, of course, in this year's celebrity series of SES Who Dares Wins alongside myself. And if you're loving the podcast, guys, there is such a huge big back catalogue with so many of your favourite famous faces to listen to. So if you think you might have missed any, please go and check them out wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to tell your friends, leave reviews, do all the lovely podcasty things. And most importantly, have a brilliant week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.